Harmony, what is up? Woo! Man, it's good to see all your faces again. Do me a favor real quick. Turn to somebody and say, you are so good looking. All right, just give somebody a you're so good looking. I get this all the time from people. I figure you guys probably need it from somebody. So, real quickly, would you guys just give it up for all the guys that preached over the last month? Our church is just blessed to have folks that can step in and fill in that role for me. One of the things that, if you don't know, the reason I didn't preach all last month was I was spending the entire month praying through the entire year, all 52 weeks of sermons. And I was literally writing up all the series. Like, I know what we're doing around Christmas time. I know what we're doing in June. I prayed through and spent time with God just working through all the sermon series that we're going to do for every month. But not only that, I went through every single week and outlined scriptures for those weeks, and I wrote paragraphs about what the sermon will actually be about. So it is a blessing to be at a church that gives me the freedom to be able to do that. And I just want to thank you guys and thank those guys, because they did a really fantastic job filling in. And it's been cool to watch them preach and to get to let them have some of this time up here. This morning, I am going to preach a sermon. But before I do that, I'd like to just pray with you guys, if you're okay with that. So let's pray. Father, I pray that that you would just take me out of the way this morning, and that it would be your ministry that's done, your ministry through the word, through Jesus, that the God, what people would see is your cross, and what they would see is your Savior, and that you love us. I just want to be your conduit, and so use me for that, Jesus. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. So I, when I came to Christ, I was like 100% all in. I'd been going this direction. I was kind of a turkey or a turd, whichever T word you want to use. I was not a good guy. And when I came to know Jesus, I flipped around and went the opposite direction, like as hard and fast as I could. So much, I was in high school, but so much so that, I started carrying my Bible. I used to make fun of people who had their Bible at school, and now I was carrying my Bible with me to school. And I wasn't doing it because I wanted people to be like, oh, look at Kent, he thinks he's so good. I was doing it because if there was a free moment in class, I would open my Bible and start reading it. Because I was just hungry for Jesus. I had really come out of this lifestyle of just doing lots of terrible things. I won't go into that today, but I was doing lots of terrible things and was far from God. And when I came to know the actual love of God, like that he genuinely loved me, he stepped out of heaven to come after me, it just revolutionized my life. And not only that, but I wanted everyone I came into contact with to know that love, you know? Some of you understand what that's like. Some of you are more passion-driven people. I'm kind of a passionate person. You can tell that from my preaching, because my voice will start to get like this, and you'll be like, oh, here he goes again, right? And I'm kind of passion-driven, but some of you are not, and your personality isn't that, and that's okay. My gut is that you still love Jesus just as much and are still as passionate about him. It's just a little bit deeper for you, and that's a good thing. But for me, it was like, it was on the surface. I wanted everybody to know who Jesus was. And so I experienced this weird thing when I was about 18. So that had been my life. I had come to know Jesus, and for the last couple of years, I just spent my time trying to get people to know him. And then I felt called to ministry. I'm not going to tell that story today. Someday I will. But I felt called to ministry. And all of a sudden, I had changed course in my life. Before this, I wanted to be, everybody yell out a guess of what you think Kent wanted to be before he decided he was going to be a pastor. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. What do you think it was? You guys are all jumbly. You all need to learn how to, like, enunciate, all right? Now, I'm just kidding. You were all talking at the same time. Here's what I wanted to be, all right? I bet nobody thought of this. I wanted to be a forester, all right? Now, some of you are like, a forester, were you just going to talk to trees all day long? That's what I thought. You get to be in the mountains all the time. So I want a job where I get to be in the mountains. And so I wanted to be a forester, but then God called me into ministry and everything changed. I literally, this is how committed I was to it. And some of you are like, I wish I'd have been called into ministry. I dropped trigonometry. I dropped biology. I dropped all, no, it was chemistry. I dropped all these classes. Like, if it wasn't helping me get to ministry, I dropped it. And I went full force towards ministry. And so I graduate high school and I go to college, and this was the weird thing that I experienced, was if you're going to go into ministry, you can go to a seminary or Bible college. And I went to a Bible college. So a four-year college where we pretty much studied scripture all the time. And here's what was weird for me. I went from being in this environment where I was surrounded by non-Christians, people who didn't know Jesus all the time, to being in this environment where everybody knew Jesus. And it messed me up. Now, some of you think, man, that sounds really good. Like, I would love, because you work with people who are like I was before I knew Jesus, and they're mean, and they just do terrible things, and they gossip, and you're like, if I could only work around Christians. But for me, this guy who is this ball of passion for Jesus, it killed me. So much so that midway through that first semester, or maybe close to the end of it, we're getting to, all I know is it's really, really cold outside, bitterly cold. So probably November, December-ish. And I had been going to Bible college, surrounded by all these Christians, and they're all like bubbly, nice people, and I'm kind of still this rough kid who's a little bit like rough around the edges, and I just couldn't take it. And I'm in my dorm room, and I've been praying. I was like, God, I just want to share your Jesus with somebody. And I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and I'm just going to find somebody on the street and share Jesus with them. You ever had that thought that you're going to, or somebody maybe made you feel guilty that you didn't do that, or they said you need to go door knock or something? I just was like, I just wanted so badly to share Jesus. I was just going to go out and find somebody. Now, the college campus that I was on was Manhattan Christian College in Manhattan, Kansas. And it was right across the street from Kansas State College. So big, normal university, you know, lots of people there, lots of students. And so I pray about it. I'm like, God, I'm going to go out. I'm going to find somebody at K-State, and I'm going to share the gospel with them. And so I leave my dorm room. I put my coat on. I go out, and I start walking the streets of K-State, and I'm looking all over the campus, and no joke, there is not a single person on campus. Like, I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, God, I get it, right? Like, this is a bad idea. And then all of a sudden, I start to see these smoke signals come up. Like, like literal smoke. I'm like, what is that? I peek around this bush, and I see this guy puffing away on a cigarette, right? I mean, he's, I was like, God sent me a sign, right? This is the guy. And then it hit me. I was like, God cleared out all the streets to bring me to the one guy who needed to know Jesus, you know? And so I'm like, this is it. This is my moment to shine. I get all excited on the end. I'm nervous. He butterflies all over. And I walk over to him. You know this guy. He's just enjoying a cigarette, right? It's like cold night, warm smoke filling his lungs. He's sitting there. Everybody else is inside working. He's just looking up at the stars, enjoying himself. And then this guy who looks like a serial killer is coming towards him, you know? Like, because I've got wide eyes, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, like, I'm walking right to the guy. He's kind of like looking around like, what is going on? And I walk up to him, and this, I had not really thought beyond find somebody to share Jesus with. I just thought, Holy Spirit will tell me what to say, right? So I get up there, and I walk right, I mean, he's sitting on the ground right here, and I walk up, and it hits me. All of a sudden, I'm like, what am I going to say? And so he's smoking, he looks up at me, and I go, could I sit there? And he's like, I guess free country, right? Like, so I sit down, and you know at this point he thinks I'm a serial killer. Like, he knows he is in big trouble. I sit beside him. He's thinking in his head, like, if he puts his hand in his pocket, I'm going for him. You know, like, he's just sitting there smoking. I sit there for maybe like a couple minutes just sitting beside him while he's just smoking. And he's occasionally like looking at me like, you're sitting there. And so I didn't know what to say. So I finally, this is what I said. I said, do you know who Jesus is? Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you're going to do some cold call, this is called cold call evangelism. If you're going to do cold call evangelism, do you know who Jesus is not the right question. All right. I ask him that question because guess what? Everybody knows who Jesus is. So this guy asked, do you know who Jesus is? And he goes, yeah. What do I do after that? You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, well, good to see you. I didn't know what else to say with it. So I sat there for a few more minutes, kind of looking at him, and he's looking at me. He realizes I'm not going to murder him. And so he finally is like, he's smoking a cigarette. And I was like, well, have a good night. Glad you know Jesus, you know. And I walked off, and I felt terrible. You ever felt that before? Have you ever felt it? Amber, a couple months ago, sent me this book. And it was called Bliss. The book is by some guys, John Ferguson and Dave Ferguson. I'd read some other stuff they had written. And I really liked it. So I was like, yeah, I'll read that. So I read the book. And in the book, they had kind of a similar story to that. It's what actually triggered that story in my mind. I was like, oh man, I did the exact same thing. I interrupted this guy's smoke break, you know? And they asked this question in the book. And the book is what this whole series is focused on. I'm not actually going to make you read the book. If you want to buy the book and read it, it's a great read, but I'm not going to do that. But they asked this question in the book, and I wanted to just tell you the question. Because the question was this: why does sharing the good news feel so bad sometimes? Have you ever thought about that? Because it does, right? Some pastor gets up here and he preaches that sermon that gets you all, woo, I gotta go do something. And you feel, and they give you a track and you take that track. You know what tracks are? They're little like pieces of paper or booklets. And you're supposed to like give them to people and it would just lead them to know Jesus. You'd have baptisms galore, or maybe you sat down and talked and you would share it with your friend at school or at work, and you give them the track and you're talking to them about it, and the whole time those butterflies are in your stomach. You ever felt that before? You feel like you're going to puke and they want to puke because it's so out of this world weird that you're having this conversation right now. You ever felt that? I knew a guy who said, he said, you know, we were talking about evangelism. He said, you know how I do it? I just, at lunch, when it's lunchtime, I get out my sandwich and I unwrap it and I pray really loud so everybody can hear me. And I was like, what? What do you mean? He was like, I'm like, dear Lord, thank you for this peanut butter jelly. You're the goodest God I've ever met. You know, like people are going to hear his prayer and be like, my heart has been pierced. What must I do to be saved? You know, like your peanut butter and jelly led me to Jesus. I mean, this was a legitimate thing this guy did, because he felt this passion. Like he knew he was supposed to share the good news with people, but he didn't know how to do it. And the reality is, you know, as well as I do, it can just feel so bad. Tell me you've never had somebody knock on your door, or you've been encouraged to go knock on doors. I had a lady after first service. She came up and said, we were on a calling team, and she said, we would pray that the people wouldn't be home. I was like, that is the most honest thing I've ever heard anybody say, right? Because it just feels so bad, but it's such good news. So why does sharing the good news feel so bad sometimes? As I read this book, it started to become, because for me, I'll tell you what happened to me. After that moment with the guy smoking the cigarette, I actually, I shifted gears for a long time. I read this book where this guy said, Christianity should be like jumping on a trampoline, and you just invite people to jump on the trampoline, and pretty soon they just become Christians because they were jumping on the trampoline with you. And I was like, I love trampolines, man. Like, and so I thought, oh, I should just show people what Christianity is, and eventually they'll just slip into it. But the problem is, there's things in Christianity you need somebody to tell you about, right? Like, I need to tell you what repentance means. I need to tell you that Jesus was not just a good man or a good teacher, but he was literally the Son of God who stepped out of heaven. And if nobody ever speaks those words and all you see is a good guy, you may become a good person too, but never actually meet the God who made me good, because I'm not a good person because Kent's good. I'm good because I have a good God who's transformed me. It makes sense? And so all of a sudden I realized that I'd been for years going down this path of just, I'll just show people. I'll just show them the gospel. But the problem was that didn't work either. Nobody, literally nobody came to know Jesus. And so over the years, Jenny and I have kind of found this personal evangelism style that has really worked for us to care for people and help them come to know Jesus. But the honest truth is, I didn't have a simple way to explain it to other people until I read this book. And I was like, man, that's almost exactly what we do. But it's so much easier for people to just understand. It's these five practices that you can start to input into your life today, and it will start to help you become somebody who makes a difference to where when you live the blessed practices that are these simple things, you'll find out that they're doable to live out. And you'll all of a sudden find out that advancing the kingdom by living for God and loving people is just as easy as trying to bless people. So all of a sudden, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, it can feel good again. Because you've learned this really easy, simple practices. It's not here. I'm not going to give you a track at the end of this that you go give to somebody and it'll lead them to Jesus. This is about us learning how to become the kind of people who would lead other people to Jesus. And to be honest with you, it's as easy as it was for you to get somebody to want to marry you. Like, look at this. I know this would have been easy to want to marry, but some of you, it took some work, right? And so, the blessed practices really are the same kinds of things that you've done to try to help somebody fall in love with you, and you help, but now we're shifting the gear to help them fall in love with Jesus. So let me share with you real quickly what the five blessed practices are. What I'm going to do is each week preach over one of these. This week I'm preaching over the first one, and I want to share what these are. I'm going to share a story of how it has played out in my life. Then we're going to look at how God has called us to bless people, and then we'll finally finish by looking at this first one, which is begin with prayer. This is where it all starts. We begin with prayer. So you'll notice the first letter is green. It's because it's spelling out bless. All right. The next one is you listen. And this is, some of you are like, well, that seems a little simple, but it is really, truly listening to somebody. We're going to explore this next week. Most of us don't do a good job of listening to other people. So it'll be begin with prayer, listen, and then you eat together. That's my favorite one, all right? I am telling you to eat, like eat with people. It's a great one. And then serve. You're going to find ways to serve people. And then finally, we're looking for ways that we can share our story of what God has done and the story of God in the world, right? So it's really easy. Begin with prayer, listen to people, eat with people, serve people, and share with people, all right? So let me share with you my story real quickly, and then we'll get into some scriptures. Jenny and I had moved to Oswego, Kansas, where I was the pastor before here, and we had moved into this nice older house, had a pretty big backyard, and we had some neighbors, and so we loved our backyard. I put in a tree house with a zip line off of it. I mean, it was awesome. And so we put in a fire pit. And when we moved into that neighborhood, we immediately started praying for our neighbors. We were just praying for them. Like, found out their names, got to know them a little bit. And we decided, we'd been praying that God would, when we invited them over, that they would all be willing to come over. So we had the fire pit. We said, hey, we're going to do a weenie roast. Would you guys come over? And our neighbors all came over. And there's the small moment in a pastor's life where people don't know you're a pastor. And it is my favorite moment, right? Because normally, once you find out I'm a pastor, you stop your cussing, you stop your drinking, you stop telling me all your stories. You all of a sudden become this fake person who you think the pastor wants you to be, which is not who I at all want you to be, right? But that's what happened. So this guy, this couple had come, and I'm in the zone where they don't know I'm a pastor yet. And he's cussing, and he's telling me stories, and we're joking and having a good time. And then it happens. Somebody dropped the question. Kent, what do you do? I always want to just tell them I'm a public speaker, but I feel like I'm like half lying. But so motivational speaker, what do you do? They asked me, and I said, well, I'm a pastor at the church down the street. And it is kind of funny to watch. I don't know if you experienced this, Robbie, but you can see all the gears turning in their head where they're like, did I cuss in front of him? And like, they're like, am I going to hell for this? Like, you know, that part's kind of funny, but I'm watching it all go through his head. And then like this neighbor kind of stopped talking very much to me. And we kind of joked around, and I kept on him. I kept trying. I knew he was into fishing, so I tried to get to go fishing with him and do stuff with him. One point we took a boat up a river, and we all the guys jumped in the river, and we floated back with it. And it was like one of his favorite things that he talked about. And I just tried to build a relationship with him. But do you know what? You know how much I was, like, how constant I was talking about Jesus and God with him in church? I didn't have another conversation with him about that from the point when I said, I am a pastor, until maybe close to a year later. And it wasn't because I'm so passionate about it, but I knew I was reading him, and I knew he wasn't ready for it. I knew it would just turn into one of those gut-wrenching conversations because I was trying to bless him. I wasn't trying to make a convert. I was trying to find somebody that I could become friends with who I could lead to being a disciple follower of Jesus, right? And so I was building this relationship with him. And so one day, my buddy's wife had been pregnant, and we saw on Facebook that they were at the hospital. It wasn't time for the baby to be born yet. They had to go to the hospital, and they delivered the baby early, and he was very, very premature. It wasn't doing well. And I thought, oh God, please, Father, just would you please step in and help Nick? And I started praying for him and his wife and reached out to him on Facebook and just said, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you if we can do anything. And it was interesting because he was staying at the Ronald McDonald House. If you ever had to use that service, man, what a blessing that they have that. And he's staying at the Ronald McDonald House, and there just happened to be a Bible that the Gideons had left. And Nick opened it up and he texted me back and he said, hey, what does this passage mean? Like, it had nothing to do with his kid. It didn't have it. He needed a way to talk, but he didn't know how to talk about spiritual things and about the hard things of life with somebody. And so we started dialoguing about the scripture, and I kept trying to encourage him and pray for him. And I looked at Jenny and I said, hey, they were in a hospital about an hour away, in a town an hour away. And I said, I'm going to drive over there. I'm going to go see Nick and Lindsay in the hospital. And so I went over and I went to the Ronald McDonald House, and I just sat with my buddy, Nick, in the living room of Ronald McDonald House as he talked about how scared he was about his son and how he was worried for his wife and what would happen if they lost him, and his heart just poured out. And you know what? I still didn't share a whole lot about Jesus in that moment. I just was Jesus to him. I loved him. We talked about some degree like why bad things happen and how God wants to be there with you through that. He doesn't want you to just walk through it alone. That's why he came. You know, it was crazy. I don't think I ever invited Nick to church. I never did. But do you know what? That next Sunday, his son started to get better. They eventually came home. And that next Sunday that Nick was home, Nick was at church. And Nick started to follow Jesus. And he came back home to God. And the Father wrapped his arms around him and loved him. But do you know where it all started? It all started because we just wanted to bless him and his family. We wanted to bless them. Can I take you to the story in the scripture that for me tells me why I need to be blessing? Abraham, Father Abraham, have many sons. If you grew up going to Sunday school, you know that song. Abraham, guy in the Bible, he has just gone through this incredible, most difficult of difficult tests, almost the kind of test where you look at it and you go, ah, I don't know if I could have done that. Abraham goes through it and he is faithful and trusts God throughout this. And at the end of it, this is what God says to him. In Genesis 22, 17 through 18, listen to this. God says, I, Abraham, I, God, God of the universe, the God who can literally speak and things just happen. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will bless you. Can you imagine? Maybe you've been blessed by somebody. There was a family in our church who did something, bought something for my son and really blessed him, like over and abundantly. They overpaid. Like we were like, you need to make sure they meant to do that. He did. And they were like, we just prayed about it and felt like we were supposed to bless him like that, right? It is an incredible thing to have a human bless you, but imagine the God of the universe speaking to you and saying, I am going to bless you. Yeah, you. I will surely bless you and make your descendants, listen to this, this is how he's going to bless them. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Tell me you haven't been out on that dark Kentucky road at night. I do this sometimes. I just love to be out in the country and I love to just pull over and open my door for a second and look up at the stars. Have you ever seen that? Stars where there's no city lights and it's just like, whew, the whole night sky is full of them. God is with Abraham, and he says, as many stars as there are in the sky, so will your descendants be. And then he says this, in the sand, there'll be your descendants will number as the sand on the seashore. We were at the seashore recently in Florida, and I was standing there. I actually thought of this verse. I was looking at it, and I was like, good night, that's a lot of people, right? Your descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore. It is unending how much sand is on the seashore. And then he says this, your descendants will take possession of the cities and their enemies. So he tells them his descendants are going to thrive. But verse 18, he says this, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Abraham, because you obeyed me and you trusted me, I am going to bless you. And what I'm going to bless you with is offspring. And then through that offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Do you know how God blessed all nations through the blessing that he gave to Abraham? Do you know? Thousands of years later, there will be a great, 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 great grandson whose name will be Jesus. And he will come and he will be winsome. Like when you hear him speak, you will just lean in and you won't want him to stop. You'll go and you'll grab your friends to come and hear him. And then you just won't hear him speak. You'll hear him do, you see him do things. And when he walks into places, it's like things that had gone wrong get restored. He walks into a church service one day and there's a guy with a hand that's crippled. And Jesus goes, well, that shouldn't be. And he walks over and he heals the man's crippled hand. What? He is the key. He is strong. He is strong and he's tough, but he is tender and loving. He is kind of the quintessential man, right? And it is through him that God will bless all nations. He, get this, because of Abraham's obedience thousands of years ago, you sit in this room as a new person in Christ. Because one man was obedient thousands of years ago. God blessed him so that he could be a blessing. Can I tell you a little secret, Christian? Can I tell you a little secret? As a Christian, you were blessed to be a blessing also. You were blessed. You were given this to be a blessing also. When we say this series is called Blessed, it's not just this, oh, that's a really great, like, put together some really neat little things that I can put up on a screen. Oh, I can remember Blessed. Begin with prayer, listen, eat. I like to eat one, that's good. It's not. It's because we literally were blessed to bless. Can I read a verse from Paul in 2 Corinthians? This kind of hit me today as I was practicing my sermon. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 20. So I'm going to, verse 17, because verse 20, he's kind of referring back to that. 20 is where I want to get to. We're going to read verse 17 so you can hear it. He says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, you believe in him, you followed him, you've chosen to be baptized, you have given your life over to Jesus. If you're in Christ, I want you to listen to what Paul says about you. He says that the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. You know what hit me about this verse while I was practicing it today is that there's another place where the scripture talks about a new creation that will come. Revelation 21, it says that the old earth passes away and that there's no longer any sea. There's no longer any sky. Heavens and earth and sky and everything has passed away. God has wiped the board clean. And it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And there was this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, dressed like a beautiful bride. And there will be this new creation. Did you know that? That you will live in a physical new creation in eternity? What? But I want, yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. Can I tell you something? This blew me away. Paul says the new creation has already come. It has already started. You ever heard somebody say, it's already started? It has already started. It is in you. God has switched out the DNA through the movement of Jesus dying on the cross. He switches out your old DNA. Do you remember that? Do you know what the gospel is, what the good news is? There are a lot of Christians who don't know this. Do you know what the good news is? Do you know what Jesus said when he said, I want you to go and share the good news? He sent his disciples out. Do you know what he said they were to go say? They were to go say, the kingdom of God is here. That was the good news. That the, remember Jesus teaching his disciples to pray? They, remember, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus came to establish his kingdom. And here's what Paul is saying is that the new creation has already begun. It is in you. God has wiped out your old DNA and he has put the spark in you. And the spark is starting a revolution throughout the world. And I want you to hear what he says about that. Listen to this. Verse 20, he says, we are therefore. The therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? He's pointing back to the fact that you are a new creation. You're no longer that old person.
He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors.
You put the door handles on at Toyota? That's cool. Good for you. You are not the door handle girl or guy or whatever it is. You know what you are? You are an ambassador for Christ who happens to put door handles on. You in a few weeks, are going to have a classroom of third graders. You're going to be teaching them. You're called their teacher. Guess what? You're not a teacher. You are an ambassador for Christ who happens to get to teach, right? You work at Dairy Queen and you take people's money and I know I'm kind of embarrassed about it. It's a second job. I'm just doing it. You're not just the lady who takes the change. You're not just the guy who runs the credit cards. You are an ambassador for Christ who runs credit cards and takes change. And your life matters in this world. And this is what Paul says. We are ambassadors as Christ for Christ. I love this. As though God were making his appeal through us. It's as though, because you know, God could have just said, hey, everybody, we're going to show up at Harmony at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Everybody's going to kneel before Jesus. You're going to, everybody, you're going to do it. I don't care. And he could have forced the whole world to do that. But, be clear on this. He will at one point, every knee will bow before him. But right now he's giving you a choice. And it is as though God is making his appeal through Dairy Queen workers. God is making his appeal through teachers. God is making his appeal through the person who puts the door handle on at Toyota. He has chosen you. What a grand experiment to be able to bless. And he says this, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen, we are Christ's ambassadors, his messengers, and those who walk with his authority to deliver the good news, right? We walk with his authority to deliver good news, but it doesn't start with you going out and looking for smoke signals and being like, there's a guy who's smoking a cigarette and I'm going to go do this. It's super awkward. That's not where it starts with. You know where it begins? It begins with prayer. It begins with you putting your heart with the heart of Jesus, being reconciled to God, coming before him and saying, God, what? Use me. This is what I love about that prayer. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. It's not about you and me. Worship songs today, I love them, but a lot of worship songs today are all about me. They're all about me, 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 me. God, thank you for loving me. God, come and save me. God, me, God, me, God, me, God, me. But the story is not about me. The story is about him, right? That's what the story is. Don't ever let your eyes get off the story. The story is about him. And you and I get to turn our eyes to him by beginning with prayer. Do you know how I looked in the scriptures? Do you know how many times Jesus prayed that they record? It kind of blew me away. I thought there would be 5 to 10 times where it talked about Jesus praying. There are 27 instances where the Gospels show Jesus praying. Do you know that? That blows me away. 27. Sometimes Jesus prays before a meal. Jesus prays when there are children around him. Jesus prays when he's grieving the loss of a loved one. Jesus prays when he's trying to decide who should be the guys that are his followers. Jesus prays before big decisions. Jesus prays when things are going good and he changes course. Jesus prays all the time in the scriptures. All the time. And here's why. Here's what I think is important about that. If you read in John 5:19, Jesus says this peculiar thing. He's in this discussion, this debate with these guys, and he says this peculiar thing. Listen to this. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. How can Jesus say that? Right? He is saying, I don't do anything on my own accord. How can he say that? Do you know how he says that? Listen, he says this. Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus was so constantly in prayer that when he looked at the Father, he was always looking at the Father, so he was always doing what the Father wanted him to do. Does that make sense? There's another place where he says that he only says what the Father tells him to say. Because Jesus didn't want it to be about him. And so he prayed constantly. So let me ask you this question. What do you do? There's this lady, Joy McClure was her name. And Joy, I love Joy. She would come up after my sermons. This was the first church I was the first pastor at. It was a church plant. Her and her husband actually went out and planted a church out of our church. But Joy would come up after my sermon and she'd say, "So, Kent." And I knew when Joy started with a "So, Kent," she was going to say this. She'd say, "What do I do with that?" And I was like, I just preached for 30 minutes, Joy. You can't figure something out, right? Like, but I'm glad she asked the question because you all benefit because Joy would push on me a little bit. What do I do with that? So here's what you do with that. We have put together this journal called a blessed journal. You should have one of these near you. You got one. This is your gift. Take it. If there isn't one that you can grab on a chair by you, we have some at the communion table. So when you go to the communion table, grab one. I would like everyone to leave with one of these today, okay? They're a gift to you. Take one. But let me explain how this works, why we put this together, okay? At the very beginning, there's some introductory stuff explaining how it works. There's also a page where I've filled it all out, so you could actually see what it might look like for somebody to journal if you've never done this kind of thing. But how this works is when you open up any page, at the top it shows you what week you're on. So the first page you'd be on would be week one. That'd be your first week using this blessed journal. It goes for 52 weeks, so you can use it for a whole year. On this side of the page, Monday through Sunday. And there's just a space for you to write, like, "Man, I was reading in the book of John today, and God, it really hit me that you said that Jesus came in both grace and truth. And God, I want to live my life in a way where I live out both grace and both truth," right? Makes sense to you? So you would read through scripture wherever you want to be, write your thoughts. This is not a diary, like, "Dear diary, today I saw." This is you actually writing out prayers and thoughts to God, engaging with Him. This is just a tool. But on this side, there's a place for you to write sermon notes. You'll see there's a place to write the series name, what week of the, so this would be Bless Week 1. You could write your sermon notes in there for the week. That will be really helpful when we start connection groups up. But the part that I wanted to get to today is this prayer section at the bottom on this page. Because we have a thing called My Circle. And you see, if I was going to tell you what I want you to do, it would be this. Out of the sermon, I want you to find a circle of 8 people in your life. But Kent, shouldn't we tell everybody about Jesus? Yeah, you should tell everybody about Jesus. But if you try to reach everybody, you're probably not going to really reach anybody. Because you don't have the capacity for everybody, but you do have the capacity for somebody, right? And so I'm asking you not to go after everybody so you don't reach anybody, but to try to get somebody. And the somebodies that I would ask you to try to reach are just a circle of 8 people for now. So you write down their names. These could be your circle of 8 people, could be your neighbors, could be your coworkers, family, who you begin praying for by their name daily, all right? So you would each week write out this list of 8 people, and you'd start to every day pray through that list of names and write out what you're praying for them about. And so Kent, what do I pray for them about? Well, we're asking you to bless people, right? So you're beginning with prayer. So like maybe as you listen to your neighbors, you'll start to go, "God, my neighbor just told me that his son is in the hospital. God, I just praying for his son. I'm praying for their family. They need you to show up in a big way," right? And as you're we're asking you to eat with people. So you could start praying about, "God, I'm just praying for an opportunity. We want to do a weenie roast at our house. God, would you just, I pray that when we ask people, they'll be receptive to it and they'll want to come over and do that. And that you'll help it just be a blast and we'll get to build friendships with them." And we're asking you, what was that next S? Serve people. And so maybe you could be like, "God, I know my neighbor's son is in the hospital. God, I want to mow their lawn for them without them even knowing. I just pray, God, that you'll use that little act of kindness to make a difference in their life," right? Can I give you a quick plug for our, did you guys get some Sprinkle donuts on your way in? Man, if you didn't get some donuts, get them on your way. We have a ministry called Sprinkle here, Sprinkle. And the Sprinkle ministry, they go out every single Sunday morning and they ding-dong ditch people. They ring their doorbell. They leave a box of donuts with a little card that says, "We love you. We want to sprinkle you with love from Harmony Christian Church." And they leave it on people's doorsteps to just encourage them and show them in a practical way the love of God. We have given you this bookmark to keep in your journal. So when you're thinking and praying about your neighbors to serve them, you can scan that code. It'll take you to a form and you can put your neighbor's information in and somebody will go just drip a little bit of, sprinkle some love on your neighbors and love them. Can I tell you one of the saddest things that I've ever heard that Amber told me earlier? She said, Kent, we almost stopped doing the sprinkle ministry because we just weren't getting any recommendations from people. What? Like, this is easy for us to do. I think it's just we didn't know how to or what to do or that it even existed. So I want you guys to know this exists. And when you're looking to serve your neighbors and your coworkers and your family and your friends, sprinkle them. Do this. Take advantage of it. It's what our church longs for. Get involved with that ministry and help sprinkle people. But you pray for how to serve them. And then you pray for opportunities to share Jesus with them. And you record it all in this journal. And what this journal becomes is the story of how God used you in people's lives. And pretty soon you start marking names off your list of eight. And you start adding new names in. And you start seeing more and more lives changed as people come to know Jesus. When we left Oswego, one of the hardest conversations I had was with my buddy Nick. I had to go tell him that we were going to leave. And if you don't know, when we came to Harmony, we loved Oswego. It was a really fantastic church. Things were not bad there. It was really great. As a matter of fact, if you had asked me probably months before that, before this whole conversation started, I probably would have said, we'll probably retire in Oswego. It was great. We loved it. But it became apparent that God was calling us here. And so I had this phone call with Nick, and I texted him. I said, hey, can I come and talk to you? And he said by the time I got there, he knew. Because this was the guy that had been in the hospital with his son. And I'd led to Jesus. And I come over to Nick, and he's in his garage working on some fishing stuff. And he kind of gave me that look like he knows. And I went and told him. And we cried together. We laughed together. And he was mad at me. And I understood. And we ended up coming here. And I left Nick there. But one of the coolest things in my life has been to keep my friendship with Nick, because I didn't start out to make a convert. I started out to make a friend who I could hopefully lead to find the love of Jesus that I had found, right? And one of the coolest things in my life has been to watch Nick and to see the man that he is, and to see him leading his children to read the scripture and to know Jesus. And he is still leading other men in that community, in that church, to know Jesus. He doesn't need Kent, right? He needed Jesus. He has a friend in Kent, but he has a Savior in Jesus. And I love watching Nick. He's actually right now in Tennessee. He's in Tennessee for a kayak fishing for Christ event right now, which is so cool. Like, Nick is living his life for the King. But I'll tell you what, it didn't begin with us sitting down and sharing a track with Nick. It all began with prayer. It all began because I didn't have a name for it before. I didn't have my circle of eight. But he was one of my eight that I was praying for. Can I just ask you this question? Who are you going to start praying for? Who are you going to start going after? Who is God popping into your mind right now that needs his love desperately? Is it your child? Some of you have children that have walked away from Jesus. And you need to stop trying to force church down their throat and start going fishing with them more. Get to the point where they want to ask you, Dad, how did you do it? Son, I couldn't have done it without Jesus, right? That's where it happened. So who are you going to start praying for? In a moment, we're going to go to probably my favorite time in our whole service, communion, where you go and you partake of communion, and you'll take off the top layer and there's the bread there, and you'll take the bottom layer and there's the juice. But you do know that it represents somebody stepping out of heaven, intentionally coming after you, dying so that you could have a relationship with him, right? It is the story of the good news coming and entering this world, the kingdom coming. Came on the back of Jesus. And so today, as you go there, partake of communion, but do that with the Savior who is saying, I blessed you so that you could bless others. Who are you going to bless? This morning, there will be several of us up here. Man, I would love to talk to you. If you've never if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, to have that new creation come into your life, I would love to talk to you about that. There will be folks up here who we can talk to you about that. But if you need prayer, maybe you have somebody in your life, a child, who you're hoping somebody else is hearing this blessed sermon in their community so that they'll go and pray for them and start loving them and walk. That maybe you need to come up here and just get on your knees before God and cry out to him. We won't bother you if that's you. If you want to come and talk to somebody, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to pray with you if you want that. But this is your time to do some business with God. So you guys stand with us during this next song. Go and partake of communion. There's also offering over there, a place for you to leave your offering, to give your gifts to God. This is your time.